In our Sira lesson, we're still continuing the Battle of Uhud, and we can see how important this battle was. And it is still, we haven't come to the end of this battle. Last week we mentioned about Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala, and even Talha radiallahu ta'ala, how they, the bodyguards of Rasulullah, how they protected Rasulullah in this battlefield when there was so much of pandemonium, chaos, etc. And today we discuss, which has been mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had cursed a few people, Safwan bin Umayyah, Suhail bin Amr, and Harith bin Hisham. So these were the Quraysh chieftains, they were the leaders of the Quraysh, and in this battlefield Rasulullah then cursed them. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the verse, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ. That the decision is not for you to make, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبَهُمْ. He may pardon them, Allah may pardon them, or Allah may punish them. The decision is not for you to curse them. فَإِنَّهُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Yes, they are sinners, they are transgressors. But لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ. You do not have the right to curse them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from cursing them. And Allah made it such that these same three people later on embraced Islam at the conquest of Makkah. Subhanallah. When Allah is going to hidayat for some person, so Allah ta'ala guides the person. And then these people became the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that I can still distinctly visualize the scene where Rasulullah sallam is busy wiping the blood off his face, and before the blood can reach the ground, otherwise Allah's azab would come, Rasulullah sallam is wiping off this blood from his face and saying, Rabbi ighfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh, may Allah forgive my people because they do not know. So obviously this was the condition, and that is why Rasulullah cursed the chieftains. But of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam retracted from this. Then of course, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is going through such pain there, but he is standing, and he is not running away from the battlefield. When suddenly Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala loses an eye during this battle. And he says, because he was stationed in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he directed his face towards the enemy so that his face may bear the brunt of the arrows, instead of these arrows inflicting or hurting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Mubarak face. And he says, one last arrow of one enemy landed with such force on my face that my eyeball popped out. I actually held it in my hand. And I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees me in this condition, his eyes welled up with tears. And he makes a dua for me. Oh my Allah, just as Qatada protected the face of your Nabi, protect his face and restore his eye to a condition better and sharper than what it was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes this eyeball of Qatada bin Nu'man and replaces it, puts it back into the socket. Qatada bin Nu'man says, Wallah, instantaneously my eyesight was restored, and in fact it turned out to be better and sharper than what it was originally. In one narration is mentioned that Qatada bin Nu'man, when this happened, Rasulullah asked him, Oh Qatada, if you exercise patience, if you make sabr, you'll be rewarded with Jannah. And if you wish, I'll replace your eyeball on its original position and make dua for you. Qatada bin Nu'man said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a wife whom I love very dearly. I fear that if I'm left with one eye, she might find it very hard now to live with me, and she could even develop feelings of disdain and hatred towards me. And therefore, Ya Rasulullah, I would prefer that you put back this eye into its position and make dua for me. Rasulullah puts back this eyeball and he makes dua and he says, Oh Allah, grant Qatada beauty and handsomeness. Subhanallah. In this battle was Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala an. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu says that my paternal uncle Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala, he did not take part in Battle of Badr, and we know Battle of Badr was not compulsory, it happened suddenly. But he should always lament that if only he could take part, and he would show how well he can fight against the enemies. So he said, Wallah, if Allah grants me the ability to participate, I will show how brave I am and what the spirit of my sacrifice will be. So it was the Battle of Uhud, when people began to flee. Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala, when he saw the people fleeing the battlefield, he goes in one corner and he makes dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I beg your forgiveness from what some of the Muslims have done. And those there, they began to flee the battlefield. I explain why there was chaos and there was a rumor that Rasulullah had become shaheed. Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala says, oh Allah, these Sahaba are running away from the battlefield. I am not running away. Oh my Allah, I isolate myself from, or I seek forgiveness from what they have done, and also I isolate myself from what the mushrikeen have done. Saying this, he is now moving towards the enemy with his sword in his hand. And suddenly he meets Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an before him. So he asks Sa'ad, Aina ya Sa'ad? Where to, O Sa'ad? Where are you going, Sa'ad? As for myself, you know where I'm going? Inni ajidu riha al-jannah duna Uhud. I perceive the fragrance of Jannah just beyond Uhud. In other words, I can smell the fragrance of Shahada coming. And he says, Ya Sa'ad, al-jannah wa rabbi al-nazar. I swear by the Lord of Nazar, I am seeking Jannah. Inni ajidu riha. He could actually perceive the fragrance of Jannah duna Uhud, beneath Uhud. So Allah Ta'ala makes it sometimes that Allah Ta'ala gives such people the fragrance of Jannah. And Anas bin Nadr radiallahu ta'ala, he goes and he fights, and he fights very bravely, and he becomes shaheed. It is mentioned that the anguish that was caused to the Muslim, to the Sahaba, was because they were unable to see Rasulullah on the battlefield. They couldn't catch sight of him. The rumor was that he had become shaheed and they lost hope. But the first person to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. And Rasulullah was wearing a helmet that was concealing his face. Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala says, I recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his mubarak radiant eyes. Subhanallah. And he says, the moment I caught sight of him, I began to yell out, O Muslims, basharat for you, glad tidings for you. There is Rasulullah over there, raising his hand to his face. Rasulullah now is trying to capture his attention and to him to remain quiet, to be silent. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course Sahaba now began to dash forward towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were extremely happy that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. It is mentioned that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dressed Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala with an armor. Rasulullah gave his armor to Ka'ab bin Malik. And then Ka'ab bin Malik fought, but there were a torrent of arrows upon him, and approximately 20 wounds he had to sustain on that occasion. We'll just mention one more incident and terminate. And this was the killing of Ubay bin Khalaf. Ubay bin Khalaf was the enemy. He comes galloping on his horse. And he had actually fed and fattened his horse with the sole intention of killing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah was made known of this intention. And as Ubay bin Khalaf is coming closer to the Muslim, to the Sahaba, Sahaba seek permission from Rasulullah that give us permission and we'll finish him off. Rasulullah says, no, leave him alone. Allow him to get even more closer. And as he came even more closer, Rasulullah takes a spear from Harith bin Simmah radiallahu ta'ala, and Rasulullah inflicted a slight spear jab to the neck of Ubay bin Khalaf. Ubay bin Khalaf started to shriek at the top of his voice. He runs to his people crying, screaming. He says, "By Allah, Muhammad has killed me. By Allah, Muhammad has killed me." Now the people think that this man is not killed as yet. What is he jumping for? What is he crying for? Why is he making such a big noise? So they begin to console him. And they say, "It's nothing but a slight prick. Nothing. Slight wound. What are you jumping for? It's not so serious that you have to scream like this." Ubay says, "Don't you know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself told me once in Makkah, Ubay, I will kill you. Only my heart understands the severity of this wound." He says, "By Allah, if this wound was to be distributed among the inhabitants of Hijaz, just as this one slight wound or prick, it would be sufficient for the destruction." And he said that Ubay continued screaming and shouting like this until he came to a place called Sarif, and this is where he died. So this was on account of Rasulullah inflicting this injury upon him. And Rasulullah had forewarned him that this day will come, because Ubay bin Khalaf was an ardent enemy of Rasulullah. He used to hurt Rasulullah, he persecuted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah Ta'ala made his end in this terrible way. Inshallah, next week we'll continue how Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu anhu bade the wounds of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah accept our humble efforts that we are making. May Allah Ta'ala make it be a means of hidayat with ikhlas. Allah will grant us ikhlas and afiyat, and Allah must make it maqbool so billions of people can benefit. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.